Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Did you hear about the grandmother? They had three grandsons, and they all were pretty well-to-do grandsons and made a lot of money in the world. And so their only grandmother living, they wanted to always impress her at Christmas time. And they had a little competition going on between the grandsons that they wanted to outdo one another and getting grandma a gift. And one would buy her an appliance, one would buy her some other great, you know, gift, trying to outdo the other. And this one year, this grandson said, you know, I'm going to get my grandmother something these other guys never even thought about. So he went, and she lived alone. So he bought her a very, very expensive bird called a Zirka bird. And this bird could speak like six or seven different languages. A very highly intelligent bird. And so he had it trained and all that kind of stuff. And so Christmas time, he was waiting to hear on Christmas Day from Grandma about this bird. And so he calls her up and says, Grandma, did you get the gift I sent you, the bird? And she said, yes, I did. He said, wow. He said, I spent a lot of money for that bird, and I wanted to know if you liked it and wanted it to be special to you. She said, honey, I loved it. It was delicious. Be careful that you be sure to interpret what you intend. We saw a movie here Sunday night. Many of you did if you came Sunday night. Don't forget to, let's see, announce tomorrow is rehearsal for The Gift. So you can come and be a part of that if you like. You ought to be a part of it. It's really great. And we're expecting it's going to be a tremendous turnout. So tomorrow night at 6:30, is that right? 6:30. Okay. And also soaking prayer this Friday night at 7 p.m. You ought to come out to that. It really ought to be just a time for you to say, I'm just going to give God an hour and a half of my time and learn to be still. And there's meditative music going on. Sometimes there's guided music trying to tell you how to meditate and things like that. And it will be a good time. So I want to encourage you to come out this Friday night for 7 o'clock for soaking prayer as well. This past Sunday night, we saw the movie Exit. It's a 39-minute movie about dealing with depression and suicide and how it affected the rich and the famous. I mean, we know that. Someone pointed out something to me this week, though, after the movie that I hadn't thought of, and I thought it was worth addressing tonight. And that is how the makers of the movie are an evangelistic organization, and that's what Ray Comfort does best. He's a tremendous evangelist. To them, now it may not have been that way to you, but to this person pointed out something to me and said, it almost made it sound like that getting saved would end depression and would stop suicide. Well, I didn't see it that way, but I want to make clear to you that wasn't trying to imply in any way, do I think that because you get saved, that you'll never have a problem with depression. And I know personally people who are Christians who did commit suicide. Their mind got so messed up, and they were born again. I have no doubt about that. Knew them personally, but their mind got in such a state of hopelessness and despair that they actually committed suicide. And there could be a lot of debate here over that. A lot of people would say, well, you couldn't be a Christian and commit suicide. It'd be the unpardonable sin. Well, I disagree with that. But we just have to disagree on some of those things. But I want to point out something to you that I do believe that you getting saved is not going to necessarily stop depression. And it may not stop even suicide. And I wanted to show you the movie just to make you aware of the people that are all around us all the time who put on a happy face and come to church, who may be even so deeply depressed that they're even contemplating it. And of course, we had somebody last week who Pam and I are dealing with, that was a person who's a person of faith in the Lord, Christian, no doubt about that. But yet they were, their situation was so dire, so hopeless to them, that they were thinking about taking their own life. And so it just so happened that that Sunday morning when we announced this movie, that that just kind of cracked open the ice so that they could get help. And we were thankful for that. So it's wonderful how God works, isn't it? I wrote a blog. I don't know if you read what I write. I write a blog, which is just a, you know, about a one-page essay on a particular topic that I'm touched by at the moment. And I do this fairly regularly. I'd be encouraged greatly if you'd read them. Because that's what I write them for. I wrote a blog a few weeks ago about loneliness. And if you want, you can go to our website, and you can, up on our website, there's a little thing there, tab, you can tab on that. It says Pastor's Blog, and I've got all these different things in there you can go to. Yeah, Benny? You couldn't get in? And you couldn't either? It's out of my pay grade. I have no idea. Eric or Jenny, are you guys hearing that? You hearing that up there, that people are having difficulty? Okay, they're working on it. Okay, that's all I can tell you. Well, you can also go to another website. It's the same one, but it's just another way around. Instead of going to our church website, you can go to GaryWashburn.com, and it's the same thing. It's reflections. It's just another way. So, and if you go there, read the blogs, you know, leave a comment. That's how I know if people are reading it or not, like that. But I wrote particularly with this last one about loneliness, and something really triggered that in me. And I was thinking about that, and then I saw this movie, and I ordered a movie because I felt like the movie would be a good complement to help us on a Sunday night. But loneliness, depression, and suicide can be triplets. In other words, they can go together. And I'm not saying because you're lonely that you're going to think about suicide. And I'm not saying because you're depressed, you're suicidal or anything like that. But what I'm saying is they can be easily connected together. They can just bleed over into one another. And getting saved does not stop loneliness. Getting saved does not stop depression. And doesn't stop suicide. Now, there's another triplet in the Bible. When I say triplet, three things that just really work closely together. They reveal the key missing ingredient in someone who's serious enough to want to commit suicide. These triplets work together, but they reveal the key missing ingredient. See if you can pick out which one of these three it is. Go ahead, the scripture. Read it out loud for me, everybody. Now. Okay. Which of those triplets right there is the key missing ingredient in someone who's serious enough to want to commit suicide? Hope. They've lost hope. Now, we know faith comes by hearing God. Romans 10:17. Hearing the voice of God through the scripture, through a preacher, through someone, faith comes. That we hear, we know God's speaking to us, and it just gives us faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. So it isn't just reading the Bible. It's hearing the voice of God when you read the Bible. It isn't just hearing the preacher. It's hearing the voice of God through the preacher. You know that God's speaking to you. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. The rhema, the word of God. We know love comes from God because that's who God is. That's His nature. That's His core. He loves us when we weren't even thinking about Him. He loved us first. And then He commands us to love one another with the same love that He's loved us with. Unconditional love. So where does hope come from? We know it comes from God. But Hope is that thing that is connected to faith and love. If I had two other people standing up here with me, and if I was hope, I'd have faith over here and love over here, and we'd be holding hands. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. They're connected together. They work together real well. People who are lonely, depressed, and even suicidal need hope. That's the key. They need hope. Now, I told you I was going to give you something if you came back Wednesday night. Now, as soon as I give this to you, don't walk out the door. You hurt my feelings. And let me try to demonstrate. Remember these cards? You know, which one's larger? Which one right now looks larger? Okay. Now, which one? Okay. And we know it's an optical illusion. They're actually the same size. Okay. Now, you're going to get a set of these, but here's the point. It would be a great tool when you come across somebody this week who's feeling hopeless, to show them that. They'll laugh and say, how'd you do that and all this? And you tell them it's not a magic trick. The point of the lesson is things are not as they appear. They may appear hopeless right now to you, but things are not as they appear. You don't believe everything you see at the moment. Things change. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You're trying to give people hope. And so I'll give you those in just a little bit so you won't leave on me. Not that I think you're going to do that. But so I want you to understand that people need hope, because when a person is hopeless, they're looking at the situation as that there is nothing's going to get better. It can't get better. It's impossible to get better. They have become hopeless. They've lost hope. And without hope, even a Christian will not be able to operate with faith and love, because there's a disconnect. They work together from your born-again spirit. Without hope, faith has no direction. Because hope is that blueprint, it's that vision of what you're hoping for. You don't see hope. If you could see hope, it wouldn't be hope. You have hope to be healed. You have hope your marriage to be restored. You have hope for whatever your dream is. That's your hope. Now, faith has something to work with. But when there's no hope, where's faith go? What's faith going to do? Are you with me? And love. Without love, the Bible says faith won't work. Galatians 5:6 says, faith works by love. So without love, it ain't going to work. Faith won't work. Without faith, love doesn't work. So these things are connected, you see. Faith, hope, and love. These three, God purposely pointed out, there's a triplet that you need to have connected and operating in your life all the time. They're connected. Bible hope is confident expectation in God. That's what Bible hope is. Speaking about Abraham, the Bible says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. In other words, he had hope because God had given him a promise. God said, so shall your seed be like the stars. So here is, against all natural hope, a 90-year-old woman. Everybody say a 90-year-old woman. 90-year-old. 100-year-old man. 100-year-old. How much hope would you give them about having a child? 50-50. Get out of here. I wouldn't give them any hope. If they said, we want to have a child, I'd say, I think it's a little late for that. Unless you've heard from God. So, against all natural hope, a 90-year-old woman, a 100-year-old man has a child. Never happened before, never have happened since. When you believe God's word about your situation, it will always be against natural hope. That's why you need a promise. When God gives you a promise, it's because you're facing what looks in the natural as hopeless. Are you with me? Go to God when you're in a hopeless situation. Ask Him, what promise am I supposed to believe from your book? Lead me to the promise that I'm supposed to have. Because I'm supposed to have hope. And if I don't have promise, I don't have hope. Are you with me? Against all natural hope, Abraham believed. Because he had a promise. That's all you need. That's all you need. I was talking to a friend not long ago, and we were talking about some situations and that I was dealing with in my own life. And I said, you know, for this and this to happen, I think this would have to take place, this would take place, this. And that friend said to me, he said, well, you just put conditions on God, didn't you? And I said, well, I didn't even think of it that way. I was just trying to think of it, you know, in the natural, that this would have to line up, this would have to line up, this would have to line up. He said, no, all you need is one word from God. And so I took my list and just crossed out all my expectations. I said, you're right. You're right. All I need is to hear from God. I know that works. I've done that. All I need is to hear one word from God. It doesn't explain everything. It doesn't tell me all the details. All I need is to hear one word from God. That's all you need, Kathy. One word. One word from God. One promise. And then you have hope. And the Bible says in Hebrews 6:19 that hope is like an anchor. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul. Notice it didn't say for our spirit. It didn't say for our body. It said for our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. Because life can be so unsteady, so unpredictable here. We've got to have something that's going to keep us steadfast. We've got to keep something. We've got to have something that's like an anchor in a boat. Life can suddenly go from good to bad in a moment. Do you know what I'm talking about? Look at the life of Job. Man, he had it all. Everything was going great. And then, boom, the bottom fell out. Life here is very unstable for us. All of us. Unstable. We don't know from one moment to the next. The wind and the waves of circumstance tell you at times that you're going to sink. And there's no hope. And then you take this anchor called hope, this one promise that you have from God. You know God spoke this to you. And you take this anchor and you drop it down into the unseen deep. Down to where you hit a rock bottom, the rock of the promise, the rock of God's word. And the bedrock is the promise of God's word. And so when the stormy times come and the ups and downs come and the wind and the waves blows and the hurricanes come and all this stuff, you're anchored. You can tell people who have a promise from God. They're calm in adversity, unusually so. People have a promise from God and know it and they're confident in God. Yeah, I know there's a storm coming. I know we're in trouble. I know this is going on. I know that's happening. Yeah, I'm aware of that. But they're calm on the inside. They can handle it. Now, if you believe what God says about your situation against the natural hope, then His word becomes this anchor for you. Then you have hope. Hope will paint a picture for faith to believe in. Hope will be a dream that you can imagine, you can just visualize, and then faith goes to work to get it. Hope looks forward to a promise from God. Faith reaches out to receive it, and love rejoices in the fact that God is the one who's going to do it. Hallelujah. But you also need patience. Have you ever noticed there's never been a conference on patience? Speakers wouldn't show up. People wouldn't show up. You can't learn patience in a weekend. Never been a conference that I'm aware of on patience. I think we ought to have one just to see if anybody show up. Patience and faith are twins. They go together. Bible says through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Sometimes you have faith and you have hope, but you're going to have to wait for a while. Amen? Like you're going to have to wait now till the rain's over with. So, the Bible says, after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He patiently endured. I wonder what that was like. 25 years, Laverne. 25 years. He gets his promise from God. God visits him, tells him, you're going to have a child. Wow. Will it be this year? Next year comes. Will it be this year? Third year. Will it be this year? Have you had to wait for a promise of God to be manifested in your life for a long, 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 long time? 16? I don't know. Is it always like that? That's a good question. Apparently not. Apparently not. Everybody's different. Every situation is different. I've had a few dramatic, and you probably had two, instantaneous almost answers to prayer that absolutely just blew my doors off. And I said, Lord, just keep it going that way. I like it that way. But there are times that God purposely wants to grow our patience and our trust development in Him, John. You know, the real test is, not will God, I'm looking to God to resolve my problem, to fix my problem, you know. And God is not interested in really so much resolving the problem as He is in building the relationship of trust between you and Him. If He resolved the problem, He could resolve the problem like that. He wants to know, will you trust Him even though you don't see any change happening? Trust development. I don't particularly like that, but that's the way God designed it, you know. Yeah.
Hope and so forth. You introduced a new emotion.
Oh.
I'm thinking there's also another emotion where people get so disappointed in time and they harden themselves and they become strong in that way, and it takes a long time to break out of that.
Oh, yeah. That's called stubbornness.
Oh, absolutely. I used to be stubborn as a mule. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I like what you said, used to be.
Yes.
Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hard lessons to learn when we're stubborn, you know, resist God and don't let Him have His way, His direction with us. Hard lessons to learn, you know. So patiently endured. Here's Abraham, waited 25 years. And don't you think during that time, he said, I wonder if I misunderstood God. Maybe he meant just spiritual children, that I really wasn't going to have anything physical. I wonder, did I really hear God, or was that my overactive imagination? You know how the enemy will come, try to talk you out of these things. One thing kept him alive and moving forward, hope. Now, this week, and you saw Sunday night, I wore my shirt, Hope Dealer. I'd like to get us some shirts made where everybody has Hope Dealer shirts. We go out in the community, no, you're a Hope Dealer. This week, you're supposed to be a Hope Dealer to somebody. I really believe that. I believe God's going to cross your path with somebody who needs hope. And it's probably not going to be anybody you can look at and tell by the natural. God's just going to arrange for you to be talking to somebody, or you to meet somebody, or whatever. And you are God's hope dealer to someone who's about to give up hope, or maybe they have. And we must remind ourselves, hope is not about resolving the problem that we hope for. Sometimes God has another ending in mind. Do you know that giving people money doesn't always resolve the problem? Sometimes it does. But giving people money doesn't always resolve. God sometimes has another ending in mind. Years ago, a friend gave me a decoration for my office, and I had it for a long time, then I broke it, but it had an acrostic about hope in it. And I don't know if you can read that real well, but it's a poem, and I'll read it for you. It says, "Beyond the darkest tunnel, it's shining round the bend. There's no light so bright as hope. It's how our problems end. Embrace the awesome power that and peace that it can lend. Believe it and receive hope. It's how our problems end. Don't give up. Give all to God and know that He will send the way to cope, the gift of hope. It's how our problems end." And I thought about that a lot, about, wow, when you give people hope, you're trying to help them to realize maybe God's got a different ending in mind. God is real good about writing last chapters, surprising last chapters. And one thing that I do believe that even before, after I got saved, before in the ministry and stuff like that, I mean, we're in ministry the moment we get saved. That's true. Baruch, you made a good point there to me tonight. We're in ministry the moment we're saved, you know. Good point. That's true. I remember not long after getting saved that I noticed that God would put me with people who needed encouragement. And in a very natural way, power of God would flow through me. And I'd give them encouragement and try to give them hope and help them to see the bright side of things, that things weren't so dark and depressing. And I noticed God started using me along that way. And then later on through the years, I learned later on that my motivational spiritual gift is a gift of encouragement. Every time I preach, in my heart, what I'm trying to do is encourage people to believe God, trust God. That's what I do. That's just the way God has wired me. Hallelujah. And so we're supposed to give people hope this week. I'm going to ask you, Brother Joe, would you help me out here? And another brother here, would you, somebody, Brother Steve, would you guys just, everybody needs an orange one and a black one, who wants one. And use these cards. Anybody that wants one, just raise your hand. They'll come around and give you a set of these. Go out this week and just keep that in your pocket. Ask God to put you, they'll get to you. They'll get to you. Put you with somebody, and here's how you, I'm just trying to help you, here's how you use it. Just pull it out. You know, have some fun with it. Say, hey, what does this look like? And you'll be amazed. They'll think you're doing some sort of magic trick. And then say to them, I want you to know God sent me to tell you things are not as they appear. There's hope. And hope comes from God. And hope is in Jesus. Do you know Him? Do you want Him? And on the back of these cards, you'll see there are is a method of how to witness to somebody. And particularly, the method that they use, Living Waters uses, they use the law, which is not wrong, because the law is for the purpose to bring us to the reality that we need Christ. So if a person's proud and they think they don't need Jesus, then you use the law. But if a person's already humble and they're broken and they know they need Jesus, they admit, I need Jesus, you don't have to take them to the law. You take them right to grace. You understand? So you use that. Let the Holy Spirit help you with that. Did you? Somebody have their hand raised here? Yeah.
We just wanted.
Oh, you just wanted some of the cards. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Not a problem. All right. Just bear with me. I just got a little bit more here. Yes? What'd you say, Kathy? It'd probably be better if you just come up. You can get that on the internet. It's a poem. I don't have any copies of it, but I mean, you could come up and take a snap with your phone if you want to. At the end of the service, you can leave that up if you like that. If you like that poem, you know. Yes, sir. Jeff.
About 25, 30 years ago, I spent, I've got over 300 hours on a suicide hotline. And people that have lost hope, they have tunnel vision. They can't see out of what's directly and how to and what directly the problem is. So as you, to encourage them, you look outside of the problem. But they've got very much tunnel vision of people that are serious in suicide.
That's a good point, brother. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So we're going to be hope dealers this week. Raise your right hand. God, use me this week. Put me in front of somebody who needs hope. And I'll be your hope dealer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now you said that. God heard it. Now it's up to him to arrange the meeting. So you can relax with that now. Okay? So, every believer should be an optimist. Every believer should be an optimist. For a believer to be a pessimist, he has to live in doubt and unbelief. See, the Bible says for us to, 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, serious-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a what?" Come on, read it with me. And as a? Your mind has to have hope. You can't operate very long without hope. You have to have hope. And he calls it the helmet as the hope of salvation. In other words, you've got to cover your mind with hope. The devil has been messing with your mind and telling you it's hopeless. It ain't ever going to get better. It's going to get worse. And you've got to have the responsibility of being intentional, cover your mind with hope, with Scripture. Speak it to yourself. Take if you have to. I remember my wife dealing with a lady who was very, very depressed, and you wouldn't know it to look at her. Look at her, she looked like the happiest thing on earth, but inside she was very dark, deeply depressed, even almost to the point of being suicidal. And my wife and another lady ministered to her, and they had her, the situation was so dire, that they had her write out scriptures on 3x5 cards and put them in every room in her house. Put them on the mirror, put them in her car, put them everywhere she go, so that she could, when she was being attacked by the enemy with hopelessness, she didn't have to try to remember a scripture, it was there for her. That's how serious it was. And do you know, in about a month, that woman was completely delivered. About a month. But it took about a month of every day. He'd go into these scriptures, being serious about that. And she was complete. And as far as I know, today, she's still delivered and walking in freedom from that. But that's how serious we have to be with our mind. And our mind has to have hope. So you got to feed your mind and speak the word of God, promises of hope. You got to be intentional. You got to start to dream again. Hope is really a dream that you have of good things going to happen. Here's our confession. Let's all stand up together. I'd like you to say this out loud with me. It's basically what I've taught you tonight. Let's say it together. I am a serious-minded hope dealer. When I find someone without hope, I will attempt to give them mine. I have faith as a breastplate to protect me. I wear the helmet of hope on my mind to always encourage me. I have the love of God to empower me. The only way I can fail is if I give up my hope and begin to doubt God. It's too late for that. God has been so good and faithful to me. He has already pulled me out of more hopeless situations than I can remember. And because of this, I have become his hope dealer. Look out, devil. Here I come.
to mess up your plans. And I might add, this week. This week. Now, here's our prayer. Let's turn it into a prayer. Jesus, I'm yours. Use me this week to give someone hope in you. I trust you to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.